This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Official truck of the Boston Red Sox.
Rock on! That was Alex Cora, Red Sox 6-4 winners over the Rangers. They'll play Game 3 tomorrow. Pre-game here on WEEI starts at 12:35. Brian Baio and Jack Leiter is the pitching matchup. 1:35 start time from Fenway Park on a getaway day for your Boston Red Sox. All right, there's your Red Sox review. I mean, that's pretty much all the time we have to talk about the Red Sox right now. And let's go ahead and welcome in John Lyons, who is live in our Brighton studios. And we'll be taking the remainder of the hour here to react to what was another absolutely pathetic collapse by the Boston Celtics, the budding dynasty, now down 0-2 after two losses at home to a Knicks team that they haven't lost to in like 2 years. And all of this coming at a time when, you know, the Bruins are resetting, the Patriots are reset, the Red Sox off to kind of a tough start. The Celtics were the team everyone was kind of looking to at this point. And right now they are on the brink of a complete and total implosion. And John Lyons is going to be here to help you through this and make sense of this and process what we've seen over the course of these first 2 days. Another horrible 3-point shooting night. Lyons, what do you plan on doing to cope with this tonight?
Arcand, it was a bad one. Celtics season is on the line coming up on Saturday. Didn't think we'd be saying that on a game that's going to take place on May 10th. The Knicks, Arcand, first team in NBA history to overcome 20-point deficits to win in back-to-back playoff games. Like, that's sweet. How bad it has been at TD Garden. Celtics offense, too. You mentioned the threes. They missed 45 threes in game one. They followed it up by missing 30 tonight. They were 10 of 40.
That's progress, Lyons.
I guess so, right? Yeah, I guess so.
That's good news there.
Their offense, once again, though, evaporated in the fourth quarter. They were up by 20 in the second half in this game. They went almost 9 minutes without a field goal in the fourth quarter. Peyton Pritchard hit a three with 8:40 left. Their next field goal was under a minute to go. Tatum's dunk, his coast-to-coast dunk, which gave them a brief lead. They sprinkled in some free throws in between, but Knicks outscored them 30-17 in the fourth. No way around this one, Arcan. Back-to-back pathetic fourth quarters by the Celtics at TD Garden. This team should be up 2-0, and instead they're down 0-2 with a must-win game on Saturday at Madison Square Garden.
I think we all were expecting this year there to be more adversity, perhaps, than they saw last season, as the Celtics had a pretty charmed path to the NBA Finals. I think we all agree, all the injuries, Brunson was out, Giannis was out, Butler was out, Mitchell was out, Halliburton got hurt. Like, everybody except the Celtics' two superstars pretty much got hurt last year. And the Celtics waltzed to the Finals and waltzed their way through the Finals. I think everyone expected it to be a little tougher this year. But to be down 0-2... to, of all teams, the New York freaking Knickerbockers. Like, that to me is just remarkable. Like, of all the possible outcomes, we thought maybe a gentleman's sweep would be about as tough as it got. And now it's, okay, we have a must-win game, Game 3 Saturday at Madison Square Garden. Another amazing thing, both of these games ended with Mikal Bridges ripping the ball away from one of your best players. He ripped it away from Tatum tonight, ripped it away from Jaylen Brown in game one. I don't know. It's like it's like they're bullying the Celtics, you know, like 90 points. Are you serious? Like this is hard to process. It's hard to process what we saw tonight.
And the Celtics last year in the postseason, Arcan, you remember this, they pushed some teams around, right? They bullied Cleveland in the second half of that series. They stood up to Indiana's physicality. They bullied the Mavericks. The Knicks have been tougher than them down the stretch in both of these games. Porzingis has been absent. They have a Tatum problem on offense, too. In the first quarter of game one, Tatum had 13 points. Since then, he has 23 points in the next seven quarters of this series. 13 points tonight. Did have 14 rebounds, but their starters combined 6 of 30 from three-point range. Mm. A quiet game from Jrue Holiday. 4 points from Al Horford, who was in your starting lineup. Again, Porzingis had 8 points, but he was a minus 9. I mean, this vaunted rotation, right, this top seven that has been so great for them for 2 years has been largely absent these first couple games. Jaylen Brown looked pretty good tonight. Derek White looked good. But really, over the course of these first two games, that vaunted top seven, which won them a championship last year, won them 61 games in the regular season this year, largely just absent. The Knicks have just been flat out better, especially in the fourth quarter. Like, it's been pathetic by the Celtics. As you said, it's been embarrassing. But the fourth quarter tonight, make no mistake, the Celtics were really bad. But the Knicks took advantage, and they were good. I mean, I'm looking at my notebook here, and it's all, you know, Brunson 3, Brunson Towns and 1, Brunson this, Brunson. Like, it's all the Knicks just outplaying the Celtics for the entirety of the fourth quarter. I mean, it's just it's one of those moments, Arcan, if I could swear on the radio, I think I would.
I kind of want to as well. Celtics up 10 with 5 minutes to go and lose by 1, 91-90 your final score. They go into a 2-0 hole with both games, both losses at TD Garden, which is just, I mean, just stunning. It's really a stunning outcome. Brown and Tatum, 33 points combined on 13 of 42 shooting. That is gross. This team's missed about 50 wide open threes in the last two games. There's ways you can envision like that sort of thing coming back to bite them. You don't expect it two straight games at home against a team they never lose to. All right, I'm going to step aside, and John Lyons, it's all you, buddy. 617-779-7937. Keep the phone calls coming in. John Lyons will be your psychiatrist tonight for the next 45 or so minutes, next hour, however long he plans to talk to you fine people. What do you have coming up tonight? You got people calling in. What's coming on?
Yeah, I see the phone lines are already lighting up. Stay with us here. We're gonna have Justin Turpin as well join us at 10:30. We'll hear from Joe Mazzulla. He just wrapped up his post game press conference, and you know, not really anything positive to say about the defending champs tonight, Arcan. But 45 minutes to go here.
John Lyons, he'll be with you. Give him a call. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I'm Christian Arcan. This has been Red Sox Review, kind of mostly Celtics Review, and it's not a good review. I got news for you here. It's going to be a tough one tonight. Let John Lyons hear about it, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. A full show starting at 6 o'clock right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Good night.
All right, thank you to Christian Arcan. He finished up Red Sox Review on a Red Sox win, so I guess one good thing happened in Boston. What a brutal week or so for Boston sports, especially teams that play in the TD Garden. Celtics with two really bad fourth quarters, lose both games. Bruins get porked in the NHL draft lottery. So, yeah, not a great week or so to inhabit TD Garden. But, yeah, Boston Celtics lose tonight 91-90. The Knicks take a 2-0 series lead. Knicks outscore the Celtics 30-17 in the fourth quarter. Again, I said it already, but just a real pathetic back-to-back games in the fourth quarter for the Celtics. I mean, this was a fourth quarter. Peyton Pritchard hits a three with 8:40 left to put the Celtics up by 14. And the Celtics didn't hit a shot after that until the final minute. Tatum went coast-to-coast on a dunk with 18.5 seconds left to put the Celtics up 90-89. But think about that. From the 8:40 mark all the way to 18.5 seconds left, Celtics scored 6 points. Like in the final 8:40 of this game, the Celtics scored 6 points. That's why they lost. And part of it was shot selection. I know throwing up, but they didn't shoot as many threes as last time. They missed a bunch of open shots. They missed 2-point shots. The Knicks got hot. The Celtics, once again, on the final play of the game, got the ball ripped away from one of their stars, as Arcan said. This time it was Tatum. I mean, they scored. I mean, I'm looking at these notes and I almost can't believe it. They scored 6 points in the final 8:40 of the game. I mean, you score 8 points and you win. again, one of those times I wish I could swear in the rain. Just a really frustrating loss. Celtics season on the line coming up on Saturday. They lose Saturday, go down 0-3. It's not impossible to come back, but, I mean, we know the odds, right? I mean, so you need to win Game 3. You really got to win probably Game 4 as well. You want to come back to the TD Garden next Wednesday with this tie 2-2, or else you're in real trouble. So Saturday is the Celtics' biggest game of the season, but even if they win, Monday is going to follow up and be their biggest game of the season, and they got to figure something out here. I mean, we're talking, what, six games in a row now where they've been wildly inconsistent offensively? Like Game 5 against Orlando, they were great on offense in the second half. And Orlando, they had a great stretch in Game 1 as well. But really, you know, up and down offensively in that entire Orlando series. And part of that was credit to Orlando. Orlando is a great defensive team. They had the second-best defensive rating in the NBA coming into it. But now we're looking at back-to-back games for the Celtics. Wildly inconsistent offense, build 20-point leads in the second half of both games and blow both of them. So I'm going to be here for the next hour or so. Justin Turpin is going to join us at 10:30. I see some of you lined up already on the phone lines and the text line. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to get right back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Before we do that, though, let's get a quick trending with our producer, Tom Crisafulli.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, reacting to a deeply frustrating Celtics loss, 91-90 to the Knicks, down 0-2 in this second round series. You heard the call there. Six consecutive defending champs have lost in the second round. Last one to get past it is that Warriors team that repeated. I'll get out ahead of it now. The Celtics still can win this series, so I'm gonna say that, right? They can still win this series, but I'm almost speechless here about how bad they've been in the fourth quarter of these two games. I mean, game one, you have the 20-point lead. You go to overtime. By the way, you get dominated in the overtime of game one as well. And then tonight, as I said before, Peyton Pritchard hits a three to go up 84-70 with 8:40 left. The rest of the game, you scored 6 points. And they, I mean, that's it. That's, you scored 8 points in the last 8:40 and you win. And this is a game, too, that early on, Celtics had a 24-13 lead at the end of the first quarter. Carl Anthony Towns played really well in that second quarter, by the way. That's probably going to get lost in this, but he had back-to-back and ones, drew a couple fouls on Horford. Jaylen Brown also played really well in that second quarter. Celtics took a 9-point lead to halftime, stretched it to a 12-point lead at the end of the third, and just, again, collapsed once again down the stretch. Let's go to the phone lines here. We are going to be joined by Justin Turpin in about 5 or 6 minutes or so. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Let's start. Andy in New Hampshire. He's been hanging on a while. Andy, thanks for hanging on. Now, welcome in.
Hey, what's happening? Is this Jason?
This is John.
Oh, John, I'm calling for Jason Tatum. Is he available?
I don't think he's available right now.
Well, I'd really like to talk to him if I could, because I really kind of need to talk to him. That was roughly the most pathetic display of basketball I've ever seen. And I'm 6 years old, and I'd like to talk to him about how to play basketball. Could you go get him for me?
I wish I could, Andy. Thanks for the call. Yeah, it was – look, the Tatum in these first couple games, after scoring 35 points or more in the last three games against the Orlando series, he's been absent offensively in these first couple games largely. He had 13 points in the first quarter of game one. Since then, he's had 23 points total. He had 10 points the rest of game one, 13 points tonight. Now, he has had high rebound numbers, double-digit rebounds in game one. He had 14 rebounds tonight. But again, tonight, only 5 assists. So you look at it like on the offensive end of the floor, Tatum had 13 points. He had 5 assists and 1 offensive rebound, because 13 out of the 14 rebounds were defensive rebounds. So Tatum, first-team All-NBA Supermax player, elite player, elite scorer, absent on the offensive end pretty much throughout the entire game tonight and large stretches of game one. So again, it's not all is lost, but man, they have some things to figure out pretty quickly. Let's go to Paul in Westfield. Paul, welcome in. What do you got for us?
Well, I don't have the Stephen A-thon of high speed, high impact criticism, condemnation, and crud. We've seen enough of that on the floor. So I can keep it in this very simple way of reverse engineering what we just witnessed. The first reality is we're 25-100, and teams force us to play long ball, and our threes don't work. However, we're also the best team on the road, and we normally rebound, which we didn't. We normally hustle to get the ball, which we didn't. We normally make open shots, which we didn't. We do go on the road and destroy teams. So if we just actually play like a basketball team, not have collateral collapse, chaos, and calamity in the fourth quarter, and literally hand them the victory, I say simply this. The train is not stopped until it gets to the last station. If we can go into New York and just play basketball and actually give an effort, we'll win. And we can come back and get this party started. We're losing it. They're not winning it. This was shocking. But you have to look at what went wrong, which in this case is you ask yourself, can it keep happening? 2 in a row? This is unheard of. I think we can do better. I think we are better. And I think we will be better. It's basically up to us to decide to do that. And I know it's in them. They just got to find it. And I'm completely convinced in this closing spot, you have a lot of stress and social anxiety from people pushing, pulling, and tugging at you. You go on the road and it disappears, and you're suddenly free and play so much better. Maybe they should start rearranging the furniture in their life and learn to say, I'm an adult. I don't have to do anything. Nobody can tell me what to do. I'll take your opinion and stop ordering me around, because they're too much tension and stress.
And Paul, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're waiting on Justin Turpin to join us, so I had to cut you a little short there. But Paul made an interesting point, and I think it's something we've kind of talked about. This hasn't been – look, and I don't want to take credit away from the Knicks because they've played great down the stretch. But this, to me, has been more about the Celtics losing these two games than the Knicks winning them. And Celtics do have the most road wins in the NBA, 33-8 on the road this year. So, if there was a time to go on the road and play well, this is going to be it for the Celtics, because again, Saturday is going to be a must-win game for them. And you just go back to this third quarter where the Celtics come out, they go up, 53-41 in the third quarter early on. Tatum has a drive and dunk that puts them up 55-43. And then there was a key moment I thought was going to be the key moment of the game. Didn't work out that way. Derek White draws a foul on OG Anunoby's dunk. It's an offensive foul. Then he hits a floater. Celtics end up going on an 11-2 run. They go up 68-50, and I thought that was the moment, right? White draws the offensive foul, then an 11-2 run to put you up by 18. I knew the game wasn't over, and I knew the Knicks were going to battle, but I thought that was going to be the signature play that took the Celtics all the way through to victory, and they had a 12-point lead at the end of the quarter. Again, they had a 14-point lead with 8:40 left, and it just their offense was absent. It's embarrassing. It's really just bad offense. And look, they had some open looks that they missed. I get it. They also had some possessions that didn't look good. So joining us to talk a little bit more about this game, someone who was there inside the TD Garden, it is Justin Turpin. He covers the Celtics for WEEI.com. Justin, welcome in. How are you?
What's going on, John? I'm outside the TD Garden right now. We were just evacuated for a fire right before Jason Tatum was supposed to talk.
Yeah, I think the fire alarms are going off a little bit on the Celtics season right now, Terp, with them down 0-2 in this series.
Definitely not the only alarm going off across New England.
And you've been in the building for both games. You've witnessed both fourth quarter collapses up close. I know this might sound like a weird question, but was there any differences for you between the game one collapse and this collapse? Because they felt, watching it on TV, like almost a mirror image. But did you notice anything that was a little bit different in the two collapses?
No, I honestly didn't. It felt like a mirror image, and it was a mirror image. The same exact score and pretty much the same exact process. They just couldn't make a shot down the stretch. And, John, we'll see what the tracking data says tomorrow. But, again, I liked most of the looks they were getting. They just couldn't get them to fall. Now, at some point, you got to learn your lesson, right? You just did the same thing in game one. You kept firing away from three, and they weren't going in. Granted, they were wide open, but they're not going in. There's lanes to the basket. They got to take them. And to be honest, when New York closed the third quarter on that 8-0 run, cut the 20-point lead down to 12, there was a sense of nervous energy. It was like, here we go again. We just did this last night, and turns out to be the exact same scenario. It's like Groundhog Day.
And Justin, I think we got to start here with Jason Tatum, who three-time first-team All-NBA guy, very well could be on it again this year. He had 13 points in the first quarter of Game 1, and he has 23 points since then, including 13 tonight. And just on the offensive end, 13 points, 5 assists, and 1 offensive rebound. So, I mean, for a guy that is as good as he is, an MVP candidate, I mean, he was absent largely on the offensive end tonight. Do you have any explanation for that? Anything you saw that you thought affected him?
I mean, I think the wing defenders of New York are doing a great job, but you and I talked on Sunday before this series, and we were saying how Jason Tatum, this should be a great series for him. He averaged 35 points against this team, he got everything he wanted against these guys all season long, all in the regular season, and now it's just been kind of non-existent. And I think at some point they're kind of getting in their own heads. He was passing up good looks tonight, and maybe that's because of how poorly he shot in game one. But there were a couple times in this game, and Joe Mazzulla mentioned in after game, that there was three-point shots that Tatum should have taken that he passed up. And then a couple times he just missed uncharacteristic layups. And it really is a make-miss league, and that includes Tatum. But I really would like to see him take more of those shots, because these are the times that you need your best player to be at his best, when the game's unraveling like that and they had their backs against the wall. Peyton Pritchard called this a must-win game this morning. They kind of felt the pressure that they need him to step up and be at his best, and he didn't deliver. So I'd like to see him be more aggressive moving forward.
So you mentioned that the wing defenders are doing a really good job, and I would agree with you. And when you look at the trend of this season, right, so the Celtics swept the season series, but it got progressively closer, right? The first two games were blowouts. Third game was a 13-point win. Fourth game was a 2-point overtime win by the Celtics. Then they lose game one, lose game two. I mean, have the Knicks figured something out in their matchup with the Celtics? Have the Celtics just been playing worse against them? I mean, is it a Josh Hart thing these past couple games? I mean, why is it, do you think, that this series has just gotten progressively closer and now has swung in favor of the Knicks these last two games?
It's funny you mentioned that, John, because I was actually looking at that yesterday, how every game, with the exception of opening night, the Knicks made some sort of run that cut a 20-point lead down to a tie game or got it within 5 points or something like that. They always made a push that made it close. But Boston always had a counter, and they always had that knockout punch, which we grew so accustomed to seeing from them last year. it seems like they just haven't been able to find out a way to win those games. Like, that's the thing is we've seen this team countless times go down, have their back against the wall. I mean, think back to that Pacers series last year. Time and time again, they had their back against the wall and they just made plays. They found ways to win games. And that just hasn't been the case. And honestly, it goes back to the beginning of the season. Like, there were some red flags with this. Think back to that December, January stretch there where they're playing 500 basketball. A lot of those losses came in the clutch. And we were all kind of brushing it off like, all right, this team's going to figure it out during the postseason. They've built that reputation. They've really, that's part of their DNA. And it just, they haven't righted that ship. And there was warning signs along the way. And that's the issue. This team, they just haven't been able to find a way to win these games that they're supposed to win. They're the NBA champions, the reigning NBA champions for a reason. These are the games they're supposed to find a way to win, and they just haven't been able to do it. So, again, it happened during the regular season. They were able to find a little bit of a counter push, and they really just haven't been able to do it this series.
How much of this, Terp, is a Kristaps Porzingis issue? Because he came off the bench in the third quarter at 8 quick points. And to me, that was the best he played really all playoffs. I mean, he wasn't good against Orlando. He had that pretty good stretch in game four, but he really wasn't good overall in that series. Was not good in game one before he left early. In the first half tonight, he was not good. A little bit better, as I said, in that third quarter stretch. But I know the illness thing is there, but it feels like that piece of their offense without Porzingis is missing, and they have not found a way to make up for it.
You're 100% right. I mean, think back to the reason why they went out and traded for Kristaps Porzingis. It was to bust those zones for a guy that can just break a defense no matter what it was and get the offense back on track. And they needed a little bit against Orlando, too. But the thing is, Orlando couldn't score. So when they would, Celtics would build these leads, Orlando would punch back. They would have a response, but they wouldn't be able to do enough because they just didn't have the offensive firepower. So they kind of got away with it in round one. But in round two here, New York can score. And when the offense goes cold like they did for 8 minutes in the fourth quarter tonight, that's when you go to Kristaps Porzingis. You get him a touch in the paint. You get him just facing the floor and bombing away one of those 27-foot threes that we've seen him make his entire tenure in Boston. And the offense is missing that because that has been their safety valve. That has been their break glass in case of emergency. Just get Kristaps Porzingis the ball in the paint, right at the nail at the free throw line, and just let him go to work. Let him right the ship offensively. And it's been gone. And you could see that they're really missing that because these are some of the most prolonged stretches of poor offense and not scoring that we've seen from this team, of this iteration of the Celtics, in a long time. And he's a big reason for that. But I do give him credit, John, because he's not himself. I honestly think, like, he's really laboring. He probably, if this was a regular season game, he's not playing. He came out, really wasn't himself during the pregame warm-ups, had a sweatshirt with the hood on, didn't really acknowledge the crowd like he always does. You could tell something was off. And then even 3-4 minutes into a shift, he's just huffing and puffing, and he's really dealing with something. And this was the regular season. I don't think he plays.
So, Terp, back-to-back games where on the final possession, a Knicks defender has out-muscled one of the Celtics' two Supermax players. Game one, it was Jaylen Brown in overtime. Tonight it was Tatum at the end. I want to ask you, that last possession, 12 seconds left, Celtics don't call a timeout, don't get a shot off. I mean, what was your vantage point? I mean, like, should they have called a timeout? Did Tatum just screw things up? Like, what was your vantage point on that final possession?
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20. I like the initial not letting the timeout, letting them play through it, because obviously you had Jalen Brunson on the floor, and that gives you somewhat of a target. And they had plenty of time to get into some sort of action in the half court. But when you see something clearly not developing, when Jason Tatum's dribbling around the paint there for what felt like eternity, you got to use the timeout there. You can't take it into game three. So I think the initial response of letting them play through it and not calling a timeout, I liked, because it makes sense. You're not going, it doesn't allow New York to set their defense. It doesn't allow them to set in subs that could obviously be better defenders. So I liked it at first, but you have to adjust. When you see that Jason Tatum is dribbling around, there's nothing developing, you call a timeout and you adjust, and they just didn't do that.
So, Terp, last question here. I think we both agree that Saturday is the most important game of the season for them. It's a must-win game. A, do you think they can win? And B, what do they need to do differently in order to win?
Yeah, I think they can win. I'm still not necessarily giving up hope of this team in this series. I mean, we've just, again, they are one of the most dominant teams ever assembled. And the numbers don't lie. And I know that's not what people want to hear right now. You don't want to live in the past. You don't want to keep referencing the banner they won last year. But even the numbers this year, what they did is historic. And this is one of the greatest teams assembled when you look at the talent up and down this roster. So it's really hard to count them out. But I think they're going to have to start making some damn open shots. Like, that's the biggest deal. Like, you're missing these shots that you got to make. So Jaylen Brown said it after the game that they're due for a big makes game, and I do agree. But, you know, they just have to dig deep. They can't be getting out-muscled, like you said, on those final possessions. You can't be losing the margins. They had more turnovers than they had made field goals in the fourth quarter. No basketball team is going to win under those circumstances. So they're just going to get back to playing their brand of basketball. Stop playing scared. Stop playing timid. Stop playing like you have this big lead and you're trying not to lose it. Just play confident, play free, and play the way you did throughout the entire regular season and into the postseason, from the postseason last year.
Make some damn open shots. Put that on a T-shirt from Justin Turp. And I agree with you, Turp. Biggest game of the season on Saturday. Follow Justin Turpin on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you get your Celtics content. He will be covering the Celtics-Knicks series throughout. Hopefully, he'll be covering it through a 6 or 7 game win for the Celtics. But however it goes the rest of the series, he will be covering it. You can find his work on WEEI.com as well. Turp, really appreciate you taking the time, as always, on Celtics playoff postgame. Thanks for doing it, and have a good rest of your night.
Anytime, my friend. Can't wait to do it again.
That was Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. Celtics lose 91-90, yet another fourth quarter collapse, another 20-point lead blown. Again, you know, look, I did these post-game shows all last playoffs, and they had a tough loss to Miami in Game 2 last year, tough loss to Cleveland in Game 2, tough loss to Dallas in Game 4, but I don't think I was ever as frustrated in a loss last year in the postseason as I am tonight. And part of it's the carryover from game one. Part of it's just what happened tonight. I mean, you lose game one in the way you lost it, and to come out tonight and have that happen again. And I know some of it's a make miss league. I get it, but there weren't opportunities for you to create better shots. There weren't maybe some wide open threes, especially in the corner that could have been driven. It's tough to fathom, to be honest with you. I see some of you lined up on the phone lines here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to get to your phone calls. Then we're going to hear from Joe Mazzulla. And then we're going to wrap up the show. So this is John Lyons, Celtics playoff postgame. We'll be right back.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. Final segment of our Celtics postgame, taking you up till 11 o'clock. Celtics lose 91-90. You heard that there. Jason Tatum, another tough night offensively. Again, the entire offensive end of the floor, right? I know the scoring numbers is what stands out. I get it. 13 points on 5 of 19 shooting, but only 5 assists, 1 offensive rebound, just largely absent on the offensive end of the floor. Look, and I, as I said, Celtics can still win this series, but I'm getting some uncomfortable vibes from that 2023 Miami Heat series and that 2020 Miami Heat series in the bubble. Team that won't go away. You blow some double-digit leads in early games. They win. You get down. I don't know. It's just an uncomfortable vibe, similar to those series. Let's go to the phones. Kevin in Rhode Island wants to talk Celtics. Kevin, welcome into the program. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going tonight? Obviously, we're all a little sore after that last game. But I feel like after seeing all these times where Jason Tatum has had an opportunity to prove himself to be Jalen Brunson-esque and make some shots late in the game, I feel like as a longtime Celtics fan that I've completely lost any confidence in our ability to win any close games late. And I don't know, even down 2-0, you say we can still win. I feel like this series is over. Changed my mind.
Yeah, Kevin, look, I appreciate the call, and I'm not going to sit here and just say you're wildly wrong because they're down 0-2 and they've looked really bad in the fourth quarter. What they're going to need, to your point about Tatum, right, they're going to need Tatum to do what he did against Cleveland last year. Right, Cleveland won game 2 last year to tie the series up 1-1. Celtics went on the road. Tatum scored 33 points in back-to-back games. Had double-doubles in both of those games. 33-point double-doubles in back-to-back games. Celtics won 2 road games. Like, that's what they're going to need. You know, or they're going to need what they got out of Tatum on the road against Indiana, where he went 36-10-8 in game 3 last year. And then 26-13-8 in the clinching game 4, where they won by Derek White 3 at the very end of the game. Like, that's what they're going to need out of Jason Tatum. They're going to need that guy who went on the road in the second and third round last year and was dominant on the offensive end. And if they don't get that, then yeah, we're not going to be talking about the Celtics winning this series at all. And it's going to need to start on Saturday. Let's hear quickly from Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla. This was him after the game.
Joe, you talk about poise a lot. It's 2 straight fourth quarters at home that you guys haven't been able to execute down the stretch. What has gone into that?
I'd say it's probably 60-40. I thought we executed and got some really good looks that we missed, and then I thought we had some live ball turnovers just making the wrong read in that. So I'd say it's about 60-40 where when we got some open looks, we got to make them, and then we got to do a better job executing, especially not having live ball turnovers.
And I know this is a lot of hindsight here, but last season you guys found a lot of ways to win close games, and then in the playoffs you did the same. This year, when you had the rough patch, you were finding a lot of ways to lose these tough games, and that habit, for lack of a better word, seems to be coming back. Do you see a correlation there? Was there something from earlier this season where you weren't finishing games off like this that's coming back to bite you now?
I think regardless of what time of the year it is, if you don't, when you get the shot, if you don't execute it, and when you have live ball turnovers, you make the necessary plays to be able to win. It puts pressure, and you're playing against a really good offensive team that can generate the same type of shots, and I thought they made them, and we didn't tonight, and you can't turn it over in those situations either.
What have they done to force Jason into a couple of inefficient games here, and what does he need to do to combat the way they're defending him?
I think game 1 wasn't inefficient, as I thought he just missed some really good looks. I thought today he passed up some ones that he was able to take, and so their switchability, their ability to impact shifts definitely impacted him tonight. So I thought he missed some easy layups in the beginning of the game. I thought he missed a couple there in the third quarter, but they do a good OG Anunoby is a good individual defender, and they have good shifts and help behind.
Sure, went behind Hack and Mitch to put them into the bonus, and then they just simply pulled him out and put Ananobi in.
I mean, he's a plus 21, and he's really effective for them. And you know, that's something that we need to do a better job in those minutes. You know, is be more effective when he's on the floor.
That was Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla after the game. And now we look forward to Game 3 at Madison Square Garden. Now, Celtics won both games at Madison Square Garden. I mean, that Saturday night game in February, Tatum had 40, convincing win. I really think they're going to have to go to New York and win both of these games in order to win this series. I mean, they have to win Game 3. And I know, look, it's technically possible to come back from being down 0-3. I know. But realistically, if they lose Game 3 on Saturday, especially after the way they blew these first two games, they're not going to win the series. So they got to win Game 3, obviously. But I think you're even going to win Game 4, too. I think if you go down 3-1, that means you would have to win three games in a row, one of them on the road. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that's impossible, but, man, that is an uphill battle for a team. And I'm glad someone asked Mazzulla about that. Hey, some of these things earlier in the year, and Justin Turpin talked about that earlier. Maybe we brushed off their mid-December to mid-January kind of malaise they were in because they played so well before and after it. But they have some things to figure out. Tatum's missing a lot of open shots. Porzingis has largely been a non-factor in this series. Sam Hauser missed tonight with an ankle injury. Who knows? Maybe if he plays, their offense is a little different and they win. Is Sam Hauser going to be available on Saturday? It's a couple extra days off in between. You know, Al Horford's going to get 2 days off, so that's good. But they've been relying on him a ton in this series on the inside. They're gonna have to figure some things out. I thought their guard play was better overall tonight. Jrue Holiday was a little quieter offensively. Good early. Guard play was a little better. But really it boils down to they haven't gotten anything out of Porzingis. Tatum has missed a bunch of shots. And collectively as a group, they've missed a bunch of threes. And that's, look, those things worked last year and they won a championship. They worked most of this year and they won 61 games. They have not worked, and they worked mostly against Orlando. They shot fewer threes against Orlando, but they played well enough offensively, played well defensively, and they won in five games. Those things have not worked in the two fourth quarters. The crazy part is there have been even a couple moments where those things have worked. Like third quarter tonight, you're like, all right, maybe the Celtics are on to something. They'll be all right. Nah. Just a brutal, brutal back-to-back games and back-to-back fourth quarter performances at TD Garden. The clock is ticking now. Celtics have to win on Saturday, and I think they have to win on Monday as well. I will not be here on Saturday for Celtics postgame, but I will be back on Monday for Celtics postgame here on WEEI. Hopefully, I'll be talking about a series tied 2-2. But the Celtics, in the words of Justin Turpin, going to start making some damn open shots. Otherwise, we might be having a different conversation. I'm John Lyons. Big thank you to producer Tom Crisafulli. Did a great job tonight. Again, Celtics lose 91-90. Another 20-point lead blown, another fourth quarter collapse. Game 3, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 p.m. on ABC. Must win for the Celtics. Hopefully after that will be 2-1. Hopefully next Monday 2-2. But until then, I'm John Lyons. Do your best to have a good rest of the night after that Celtics performance.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.